The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest Three Quarters Dead. I'll cover the top movies at the box office, Bigfoot foods, funny ads and products, and my Week 11 NFL picks. All this and more on Revelator. Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host, Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me as always. Hopefully, everything's going all right with you, wherever you may be. And this past weekend, I had first off, happy Veterans Day, belated Veterans Day. And thanks to all the men and women who have served and continue to serve for our country, the United States. And if you're outside of the country, well, hey, sorry. But but I tell you what, this past weekend, I went to the Orange Goblin show here in Nashville at the Exit Inn. I wasn't able to get the interview, unfortunately, with Ben and those guys, but really cool dudes. I got to meet him. I got into the show for free, which was cool. And so I'm out there waiting in line, right? And I end up getting there a little early. So there's this first dude in line named Wayne, right? And I'm like, hey, Wayne, what's up, dude? Nice to meet you. And behind me are these two old dudes, 50s old dudes. Now, I guess not old, but, middle age. They're like really, really drunk, man, like really drunk, like hammer drunk. They're like, dude, we came all the way from St. Louis to see Goblin, man. The 45 minutes I'm waiting in line, these guys are like, Goblin, dude. Goblin's playing tonight, man. Goblin. We came all the way from St. Louis. Goblin. Just going crazy all night. Just Goblin throughout the whole show during all the opening bands, which are great, by the way. Laser Wolf. Holy fucking Grail. Holy shit. You want to talk about a band that can play live. Holy Grail was awesome. These two dudes, man, through the whole night of the show, anytime there's like a quiet part where like a band's changing out, the two old dudes who are right by the stage are like, Goblin! Goblin's coming! Goblin! I don't know if they, as the night go on, they get quieter and quieter because they're just hammered drunk from, we're from St. Louis, came all the way to see Goblin, dude! Goblin! But, so a pretty wild show. Orange Goblin was awesome, by the way. Goblin! And, so it was a good time. But hey, last week we talked about Bigfoot hunting laws and stuff, and I still understand why everybody wants to hunt Bigfoot. But in case you're one of those people out there, like, man, I want to hunt Bigfoot. I want to find him. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to find Bigfoot, apparently finding Bigfoot starts with just basic, food. Yeah. I guess apparently he likes cookouts and stuff. I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows this. This guy named James Bobo Fay has been searching for Sasquatch since the early 1980s. This guy is now has a TV show. This guy has done nothing but search for Sasquatch since the 80s, okay? And apparently he knows certain foods that might provide a recipe for success. Now, first off, he's been hunting Bigfoot for 30-some years, okay? And this guy's an expert? Dude, you haven't produced crap, okay? For 30 years, you've been hunting Bigfoot. You suck at hunting Bigfoot, by the way. He says his key items are sweets, meats, and especially bacon. Apparently, Bigfoot likes bacon. I don't know if it's bigger, better bacon or if it's thick-cut bacon. Maybe it's peppercorn bacon. I'm not sure what kind of bacon Bigfoot likes. Maybe he wants to switch up his bacon. Maybe he's not buying high-quality enough bacon. That's why he hasn't found Bigfoot in the last 30 years. I don't know. But he's saying also Bigfoot likes raw meat like deer. And he also likes fruits and berries. Okay, and now mind you, this guy, James Bobo Fay, has been hunting Bigfoot since the 80s. How in the hell does he know what Bigfoot wants? Obviously, he needs to switch up the menu. So obviously, raw deer meat, fruits and berries, and bacon just aren't working for you. Okay, this guy has got a TV show. He says sometimes you should just go out into the woods and cook in the wilderness because it puts a smell in the air and Bigfoot really likes it. Again, you've been hunting Bigfoot for 30 years and you haven't found him, okay? I'm not taking tips from this guy, but if you're out there and you're determined to find and hunt down Bigfoot, these are the things, according to Mr. James Bobo Fay, says that you should do. He says scientists agree that these things, any scientific expert will tell you, that these are the things that Sasquatch likes. He likes the same things such as fruits, berries, and bacon. Well, he says, at least 4 out of 5 scientists say that. Is this like toothpaste all of a sudden? Four out of five scientists say that fruits, berries, raw meat, and bacon will attract Bigfoot. 30 years later, we're still waiting. I found this particular product, and it was just too good not to talk about. And it's titled Poise. I'm going to read it as if I'm going to try to pitch the ad here to all the ladies out there. Ladies, listen up. I'm going to get my Barry White voice on right now. A perfect compliment to your active lifestyle, these award-winning feminine fresheners are equipped with a clean and fresh scent that lasts up to 4 hours. Simply remove the backing and stick the freshener on the outside of your undergarment and confidently go about your day. Poise, they're award-winning panty fresheners. How do they give award-winning panty fresheners away, really? How is this done? Mike, I don't know if you have any insight on this or not. Do they get a trophy? I mean, do they just get a bunch of stinky vaginas to compete who has the best odor masking vagina freshening pad? Is that how this is done?
They use homeless people.
Is that what it is? It only lasts up to 4 hours, so you got to change this thing a couple times, right? So I get on their site and I find this out, and a lot of people are probably like, why in the hell are you looking up women's feminine products? Hey, that's another story for another time, okay? But here's some reviews, which I love. These are classic. I have hot flashes, and my panty area gets an odor. But with this product, I have confidence now that it will stay fresh all day long. Well, at least for 4 hours, according to the product says. I use the panty freshener every day. Thank you so much for making this product. Love it. Now here's a negative one. This is a bad one here. I have ruined 2 pair of underwear. The first time it happened, I thought I did something wrong. The second time, I moved the freshener to my stomach area thinking that I was too warm where I had it placed the first time. It doesn't peel off like the pad does. I couldn't get the sticky stuff off no matter how hard I tried. I can't help it. I read that and I still laugh. It's just the sticky stuff she couldn't get off. I mean, do you stink that bad? You know, you have to get like pads to stick on your underwear. I mean, that's basically the equivalent of putting one of those air freshener things in your car when it reeks. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just hang this up here and hopefully nobody will notice that it stinks. Moving on tonight. I don't think any more can be said about a perfect compliment for your active lifestyle. These award-winning feminine fresheners are equipped to clean and freshen scents up to 4 hours. Poise. Now, speaking of interesting products and ads, this is a good one here. This is a classy cigarette ad from the UK. A new e-cigarette with a woman talking dirty is supposed to be really hot. Some say it's not. Listen to this. You be the judge.
I want you to get it out. I want to see it, feel it, hold it, put it in my mouth. I want to see how great it tastes. If you're going to vape, vape with VIP.
Wow. You know what? I quit smoking a long time ago. And if I were going to pick up smoking again, that would be after watching that ad. Wow. I guess in the UK, they're not allowed to show anyone actually smoking or anything. They're not allowed to show the product. So the full ad that we played is actually not the full ad that was played. And they ended up pulling the ad anyway. Because you're not allowed to show anyone smoking, even an electronic cigarette in the UK. But wow. The woman they got to play it is really, really sexy. They did one for men as well. But I figured I did the Poise panty freshening thing. So ladies, you got enough tonight. We just got the gentleman got the sexy, put it in my mouth. Put it in my, I love that sexy or just, you know, it's definitely a little slutty. I just put it in my mouth, you know, just put it in there. Let me vape it. Now just, I'm going to vape away. Just vape away. Buddy. Moving on tonight. The 7th time in Miss Universe history, Venezuela is taking the crown. The 25-year-old Gabrielle Isler was given the most beautiful woman in the universe at Moscow's Crocus City Hall this past Saturday night. As the evening came to a close, the United States' Olivia Cupola relinquished her Miss Universe crown. Also on hand was Miss South Carolina to offer this particular comment.
I personally believe U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Thank you for that comment, Miss South Carolina. I appreciate that. Wow. Yeah, I'm so glad that we have that clip. I mean, we can play that every week. I don't care. That's just hilarious. And Miss Universe. I mean, shouldn't it be Miss Earth? Go Earth, baby. Woohoo. But yeah, if you haven't seen Miss Venezuela, I guess now Miss Universe, she is one very beautiful woman. Miss Gabrielle Isler. But yeah, so I figured I'd share that with you as well. And again, thank you, Miss South Carolina, for those wonderful, wonderful comments, such as, and therefore, and maps and stuff. Moving on, here's the top movies at the box office this weekend. Number 10, working our way up to number 1. Number 10, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs at $2.7 million. About Time at $4.7 million. Captain Phillips, $5.7 million. 12 Years a Slave, $6.6 million. The movie Gravity, $8.5 million. Ender's Game, $10.2 million. Lost Vegas, $11 million. Freebirds, $11.1 million. Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa at $11.3 million. Now, in a month at the box office, Bad Grandpa has made $78 million. The number one film, Thor, The Dark World, in its opening weekend, made $85.7 million worldwide. Unbelievable opening weekend. It looks really good. I really enjoy the Marvel films, the Avengers, obviously the first Thor, the Iron Mans. Looking forward to the Captain America one as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing Thor, The Dark World at some point. Those are your top movies at the box office. And right now, I'd like to get into our music guest, which is Three Quarters Dead. Matt, Mark, and Alan from the band Three Quarters Dead will be joining us in just a moment. But first, let's take a look. This is off their album, Cycle of Dust. This is Arsenic, Three Quarters Dead on Revelator.
You're not truly in.
That is Arsenic here on Revelator. That is off the album Cycle of Dust. And I'm joined now by Mark Alexander from the band Three Quarters Dead, our special guest this evening. Dude, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. We're over here at a drummer's house doing this interview.
Right on, man. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time out, man. Now, kind of jump right into it, man. I know you guys have been working on some new material. You have three albums out now, and we're going to hear some tracks off the album I just alluded to, which is Cycle of Dust. But talk to me about, you know, working on new material in the song process this time around. And do you guys have a timetable at all for like an EP or album, or is it just kind of taking as it comes kind of thing?
Right now, we probably got about four brand new songs, probably about 90% done. And after we have a show this Saturday, after that we'll probably be taking some time off to record the rest of the album or get a really, really good start on it. So, and that's the plan for about the next 2 months, just to write new music.
Right on. Well, that, I mean, obviously, you know, kind of the down part of the year too for a lot of people. You know, end of the year, not a lot of people were on tours or doing anything. Now a lot of people may not know this. You guys actually have three albums already in the bank, so to speak. Now, obviously, you know, going and working on new material here through the holiday season, the first part of the year through winter. And you guys have, you know, obviously been on the road and played with some great bands like Avenged Sevenfold and Shadows Fall. We've had Brian on the show, a really cool dude. What is it, I guess, you know, for you guys, I mean, I guess the biggest challenge, and I imagine for a lot of bands as well, is not necessarily getting on these bills, but is finding the right tour to be on. What is the challenge there? And like, yeah, we'd like to go on the road with, you know, Sevenfold again, or you know, Nonpoint, or you know, any band out there that's touring like crazy. You know, what's the fine line there? But like, is this the right tour for us to be on when the time comes?
And basically, I guess it's kind of knowing the right people to get you on it too. We've got a pretty good management team going on. We've been working with a guy out of the Midwest, out of Colorado, just by Shadow Entertainment. Shadow Entertainment Media, and he gives us on a bunch of shows, and it's just kind of, it's just networking, really. And who you know, we've won a few contests too through some radio stations to play some pretty big festivals and all that. So
very cool, man. No, I think the tracks we're playing tonight is a good indication of where you guys have gone musically. With the four new songs you had mentioned that are just about complete, have you guys found that, you know, obviously you guys have gone through some lineup changes and stuff. We're not getting into all that, but have you noticed, you know, since this album to where you guys are now with this new material, is it a little bit, you guys kind of finding your niche, so to speak, as far as your sound and what you guys really want to put out and how you want to sound?
Well, I guess over the past 2 years, since 2008, since we got Jason, we all come from different musical backgrounds, and it took us
at least two good albums.
Yeah, it took about two good albums for us to really get in tune with each other and, I guess, develop something unique. I've heard people say that we're like a genre-bending band. We kind of blend elements of every
type. Yeah, we're a melting pot.
Exactly. And it's made something for kind of something unique and special, and that's what we want to portray ourselves as. So. Stands out what? Anyway.
Yeah, no, I think
a lot of people ask us sometimes, like, who do we sound like? People who haven't really heard us yet, and they get to speaking to us, they're like, you know, who do you sound like? Who do you sound like? What other bands do you sound like? We more or less just have to tell people we sound like Three Quarters Dead.
That's it.
Because we're so different sometimes.
You should just tell them Hall & Oates. We sound just like Hall & Oates.
There we go. That's right. Boy George.
Yeah, just like Hall & Oates, man. You heard those guys. That's what we sound like, man. But no, I think that's cool, man. We've been trying to find, you know, we try to find bands each week that kind of are out there doing their own thing, and you guys definitely fit that bill, man. You know, you listen to nothing. I mean, I worked in FM radio for years, and nothing against, you know, what they do, but, you know, it seems like a lot of those bands all have the same scheme or the same format for each song. It's very, very, for lack of a better word, cookie cutter, man. It really is. I don't really have a problem saying that. And And I think, you know, some of those bands may enjoy doing that, and maybe they do, but I like bands that are out there. You know, the next song we're going to hear, there's actually like this thing, kids out there, there's this thing called guitar solos, and this next song we're going to hear tonight sometimes actually has that in it, which I think is kick ass. But talk to me about the video as well, which I think is pretty cool. Obviously a storytelling video. Talk to me about filming the video and the concept behind it.
We shot the video with a photographer, director named Justin Reich. He runs a multimedia business out of Winston-Salem. It's called the Andrew Matter Studio. And he's done a bunch of work. He's done some stuff for Black Label Society here as of late. And we shot the video in two parts. When I was in an old hosiery in Winston-Salem, this old bombed-out room. And it was in the dead heat of summer, maybe about 100-degree weather. We all about melted on that day. And we shot the storyline part in his business building, his complex. A lot of it was done like a big stairway scene. And it had our one of our friends that helped us out a lot, his name's Crow, he's in it. He plays, I guess, it's like the devil or a devilish figure. And it's basically about the guy in videos, his life, and how he is, and all the
actions has led up to him basically hating himself for things that he's done.
Exactly.
All his, I guess, doings or whatever.
And at the end, you kind of think that he offs himself at the end of it, but he's actually offing all of his bad deeds and starting anew again. And that's the premise of it.
Very cool, man. Well, I encourage everyone to go out there and definitely check the video out on your website. And obviously, the CD is good, man. You guys, people can go on CD Baby, I believe, and get that CD along with some of the other discs as well. We can get off the website, The Cycle of Dust. Tell you what, man, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll introduce the rest of the guys to the band and stuff, and we'll talk some more. Is that cool with you, man?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Right on. This is Sometimes here on Revelator 3/4 Dead.
Can't
Three Quarters Dead here on Revelator. That is the song Sometimes. And again, I encourage everyone to go out there and check the video. It's really, really cool. And, you know, I feel bad, man. I know you're hanging out at your drummer's house, and I didn't allow you to introduce the rest of the members of the band. Sometimes I always feel weird about doing it, like, you know, like it's an AA meeting or some weird shit, you know, where I'm like, okay, well, please announce yourself and what you do, you know. So I tell you what, man, introduce yourselves and let everyone know what you guys are all about, what you do in the band, man.
Okay, well, I'm Mark Alexander, and I am the rhythm guitarist.
And I am Matt Staley, and I'm the bassist.
I'm Alan Royal, and I play drums and bongs.
And our vocalist is not here. He lives about an hour away from us, and he can be. His name is Jason Sane. And our lead guitarist is absent tonight, and he is Sam Rhodes,
a.k.a. Husqvarna Rhodes.
Husqvarna Rhodes, because he snores like a chainsaw. He keeps me awake all night when we're on the road.
Dude, just snore it away, man.
My nickname is the Moonchild. Because of Angie glistening in the moonlight.
That's awesome, man. Maybe you should try some of Alan's bongs. Maybe that'll help him maybe sleep a little more sound, man.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of, you know, we talked about you guys playing on the road and stuff. Obviously, you know, trying to, you know, have fun on the road and it, you know, and just, you know, taking it in, you know, and breaking up the monotony of just traveling from town to town. What's some of the most interesting things you've seen either on the road, traveling from one gig to another, or something, or even something you've seen from the stage in the crowds? This is some weird stuff you've seen, man.
Oh, God, man. This, I don't know, when we was in, it's been, we went in the middle of October to go play the Bubba the Love Spawn show out of Tampa, Florida. We got to play live on it, and we had a show in Daytona Beach the night after. And I don't know, this is just one instance that I can remember right off the top of my head. With the hotel room we stayed at, had this like handicapped, like crane, I guess, that like lifted people down into the pool, and we was acting drunk in ignorance on it. And just all kinds of stuff, man.
Round. Well, that's very cool, man. Do you guys have any, I mean, obviously you mentioned we were working on new material. Do you guys want to go out and tour the U.S. again, or even, you know, get on like a Euro tour or something in spring of the new year?
Hey, most definitely. We're
up for about anything.
We're up for about anything, really. After this album's done, it's a go.
Right on. And I think that it's kind of goes without saying. I mean, I think you guys would probably agree with me on this, that any bands that are out there or young bands are out there, that's what you got to do, man. If you're going to do it, you got to commit to it and try to get on a tour and hit the road. And that's where it's at, man. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but.
Hey, I agree with you. Yeah, definitely have a good sound recording going on too. And I guess the best thing is to rock really good music that people will enjoy and buy and support. Get out there.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, man. Well, I think you guys definitely do that. I think the history shows that you guys are definitely capable of doing that. I got to ask, man, I mean, obviously the name Three Quarters Dead, do you remember how that name came to be? And do you recall any names that didn't make the cut when the band first got its name?
The name was, came up with our, a former one of our original members, and he thought of it because he worked third shift at Kmart at the time, and at the time it was just me, him, and our other guitarist, and I would get off work and go over to his house and wake him up at about 5:30, and we would practice and play songs, and after that he would have to go to work and the process would repeat. And he told me that the doing all that made him feel three quarters dead because he never got to see daylight.
Hmm. Nice.
So that's where it came from.
Very, very cool. I guess, man, I mean, musical influences, as a youth growing up, and also even today, is there bands that, you know, you look at even today, whether it be modern or new, or even, you know, past bands like Black Sabbath and stuff? Is there certain bands out there that really still, when you hear them, you're like, man, that's a major influence for me?
Yeah, I'll let Alan start on this one here.
Anything from Tool to Between the Buried and Me, Ben Sevenfold, any kind of thrash, progressive music, that's a lot of the stuff that I like.
That's right. And me, I like about anything from Johnny Cash to Behemoth, the way it is, but I guess my biggest musical influence, first band I can ever remember seeing, was Faith No More.
Ah, nice.
On Saturday Night Live back in the day. And then I got into Kiss. My best friends that live behind me, they got me into that. And Black Sabbath and Alice Cooper, Anthrax. The list goes on and on. I guess some of the newer bands are Lamb of God, Mudvayne, Slipknot, stuff like that. Here's Matt.
Yeah, I'm going to speak for Sam also on this, because me and him both share a lot of the same influences, but our biggest ones is probably Soul Work and In Flames. And, I mean, we range from, just like everybody else, we like hard stuff and heavy stuff, like Alice in Chains and Faith No More and Mellow. I mean, I know Sam listens to Beethoven at least once a day sometimes. I mean, we listen about anything, any kind of inspiration, man, anything.
That's it.
Right on. You know, it's funny you mentioned Faith No More. We had a guest last week, Ira Hayes from New York, and Natasha mentioned Faith No More as well as a huge influence. And we had, you know, obviously talk about Mike Patton is one of those guys that literally can sing anything, and I'll stand by that. I mean, Faith No More in the early 90s, man, you want to talk about a band that didn't get as much respect, at least I don't think that they deserved. I mean, that band was awesome. You listen to the album Angel Dust, I think it came out in like 92. That album still today is probably one of the best albums of that decade.
Man, I agree totally. I mean, I've seen where, like, just recently he released some kind of album. It's like some kind of Spanish, like, orchestra, right. Like, yeah. Lounge music band or something. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Patton is just, you know, kind of walks through, just does his own thing. I mean, from Mr. Bungle to Tomahawk, you know, we talked about his new, I can't remember what the project's called. It's basically like, but him with like lads, basically lounge music, you know, like, you know, very interesting stuff, man. So, I think it's good to have diversity. And I'm kind of like you, man. I go from Tom Waits to Mastodon. You know what I mean? I try to listen to all kinds of different stuff. And, I'll even, you know, some old Beastie Boys and stuff like that too. But I think it's good to have a bunch of individuals in a group that, you know, obviously have diverse musical interests, and, you know, obviously it helps create diverse music. If you guys had a chance to take two albums with you on a road trip, what two albums would you take?
For me, it would be Kiss Alive and probably, like you said, Faith No More's Angel Dust. I think that's the two incredible albums. What would be you, Matt?
I would say one would have to be In Flames' latest album, Sounds of a Playground Fading. Or just Sounds of a Playground, anyway. And the other one would have to be probably Master of Puppets, Metallica.
Nice. Alan?
Probably Dream Theater, Scenes from a Memory, and probably Kill 'Em All by Metallica.
That's right.
There you go. Right on. Well, I want to take road trips with you guys now with those albums for sure.
You're welcome to eat more, man.
Oh, hey, man, if you guys, I tell everybody this, and I know our listeners are probably like, oh, here he goes again, but man, I tell every band that we have on each week that, you know, if you're in Nashville, get a hold of me. We'll hang out and have a couple beers and hit up some barbecue and have a good time. And so, you know, definitely keep us in mind. But I got to ask you, you know, you've been in the industry a while, you know, got a couple albums on that, working on new material. How do you see the music industry right now and the impact of social media?
It seems like a lot of the big leagues, I guess you say, are like focusing more on numbers and like likes on Facebook and stuff like that, instead of finding good music out there that is marketable to me. like using Facebook, I mean, we have it. I mean, it's a good tool. But we have, like, I was telling the guys earlier, we have about 1,900 to 2,000 people on ours. And when you post something on there, it's good to have maybe half of them even see it. So we've got an official website now. It's 3/4zmusic.com, and you can sign up for our mailing list there. And that way you'll get all our news if you sign up. So.
Very cool. And we'll have a link to your website on our site here with the show as well. So we appreciate you guys taking the time, man. Mark, Matt, Allen, best luck to you guys, man. Keep keep the juices flowing with the writing process, man. And we close out tonight with Tongue of Razors, which is also off the CD you guys put out in 2012, The Cycle of Dust. Talk to me about this track as we close out tonight, man.
Which track was it again?
Tongue of Razors.
Tongue of Razors. Oh yeah. I don't know. I think it sounds like a cross between. I think when Alan first heard it, said it sounds like an Avenged Sevenfold song. And I think Jason wrote the lyrics about some unfortunate events that happened in his life and to some of his friends, like. I think the some life changing events that they had, and they kind of maybe hurt some people during the process, and they were regretful about it.
Yeah, and not very proud of it. He was regretful.
Yeah, he's kind of reflecting back on that. Turned out to be a really good song.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, hey, guys, I appreciate you taking the time, and definitely keep us in the loop. If you have new material and stuff, definitely keep us here in the loop. We'd like to have you back on and jam some new tracks, man.
Sounds good. We're ready awesome. Anytime.
Right on. Hey, best luck to you guys, and this is Tongue of Razors here on Revelator is 3/4 Dead. Talking of Razors here on Red Layer, that is Three Quarters Dead. Again, thanks to the guys from Three Quarters Dead for stopping by. For more information about this particular episode of Revelator, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. Click on episode number 35. And right now, let's take a look at our NFL picks. Week 11, right now, I'm 90-56 on the season and a bunch of big games on the docket for this weekend. Thursday night game, primetime. Colts heading to Nashville, take on the Titans. I don't see a contest here. I think the Colts bounce back from their embarrassing performance last week against the Rams, taking the Colts on Thursday night. Sunday, here we go. Lions heading to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. I'm taking the Lions all the way in this one. The Falcons taking on the Buccaneers, who did get their first win, as I called it last week on Monday night. I'm taking the Falcons on the road here. Cardinals heading to Jacksonville, who also got their first win. I'm taking the Cardinals on the road as well. Skins heading to Philadelphia. Nick Foles, anybody? Wow. I'm taking Philadelphia at home against the Skins. Raiders heading to Houston. A lot of issues in Houston right now on both sides of the football. I think the Raiders and Terrell Pryor find a way to get a win in Houston. Baltimore heading to Chicago. Disappointing loss last week for the Bears. I'm taking them at home over the struggling Ravens. Jets coming out of the bye week heading to Buffalo. Big rivalry game for them. I think the Jets get it done and stay in the wild card hunt. The Browns and the Bengals. The Battle of Ohio, baby. The Browns coming off a bye week. Look, the Browns win this game. They are in the hunt for the NFC North, and I think they get it done even with Jason Campbell at quarterback. I think the Browns is a shocker over the Bengals. Chargers, man, this team has traveled a lot this year. They head to Miami, and I think they get the win in Miami. The Vikings heading to the Seahawks. Look, playing in Seattle in that stadium, it's not fun for anybody. I'm taking the Seahawks to go 10-1. Packers heading to New York to take on the football Giants, who have won three in a row, quietly turning the ship around. Giants with a win over the Packers. 49ers heading to New Orleans to take on the Saints. Not a place you want to play at. That is a house of horrors. Anybody goes in there, ask the Cowboys after last week. Taking the Saints in a close one against the 49ers. The Sunday night primetime game, probably the game of the week. Chiefs-Broncos. I'm taking the Broncos to finally beat the Chiefs on a Sunday night primetime game. And Monday night football, a team that's sneaky good, the Carolina Panthers hosting the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. I'm taking the Carolina Panthers at home in the upset. This is my week 11 NFL picks. Hey, thanks to the guys from Three Quarters Dead. Mike, wonderful job as always. Got a lot of great guests coming up here in the coming weeks. Stick around right here on Revelator. My name is Ryan. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 35, Three Quarters Culture Club. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.